Welcome, everybody. I know there's a lot of ladies who have joined us tonight or would like to be, and they're going to be listening to the recording whenever that becomes available. And so I'm going to introduce myself. This is Marilyn from the Urban Homemaker. Tonight our topic is Titus II Encouragement. And I had a lot of emails and a lot of phone calls about our seminar today, so I think we will have full lines. And if you have a friend who didn't get in, you can tell them that we are recording the call so they can listen to it whenever I get it uploaded, hopefully tomorrow sometime. So my guests tonight are to be Lori Flem from Teach Magazine. Now, she was with us a few minutes ago. I'm not quite sure what happened. I did try calling her house, and I didn't reach her, and I have emailed her. So that's the best I can do, and I'm trusting that she will somehow get back in touch with us. In the meantime, I fortunately have another guest, Lisa Vitello, and so we can go ahead and get started with what I was going to talk to Lisa about. Now, just for the audience benefit, I wanted to let you know that Lori's oldest son's birthday is today. And when she agreed to do the phone seminar as a busy mother of 8 children, she did not compute that today and her son's birthday were one and the same until about yesterday. So what our plan was for her to spend a portion of the hour with us and then gracefully dismiss herself, and she is delighted to come back another time to spend more time with us. So I am expecting Lori will drop in and join us here shortly. But in the meantime, and I wanted to talk to her about Teach Magazine and how it got started, so I won't steal that thunder, but my other guest tonight is Lisa Vitello, and she's the editor and publisher of New Harvest Homestead Newsletter. Lisa is a mom of 6, so I am going to kind of switch my gears because I was going to spend the first portion of the hour with Lori, and then I was going to shift into Lisa's passion topic, what she loves to talk about and encourage other moms, and that is Titus II meetings, I guess, and just the spirit of Titus II, encouraging women in the high calling of being a mother, a wife, a homemaker. Let's see, what else do we do? Those are kind of general.
Chief bottle washer, butcher baker, candlestick maker.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Right.
So, anyway, and just if there's anybody listening tonight that doesn't know myself, I'm Marilyn Wall from the Urban Homemaker, and we are a small family business specializing in bread baking equipment and products for health. Our website, you probably already know, is www.urbanhomemaker.com, and you're certainly welcome to sign up for our free newsletter at our website. We publish that about twice, maybe 3 times a month, filled with articles of encouragement and product specials. Also, I write now for, wouldn't you know it, New Harvest Homestead Newsletter and for Teach Magazine, among the many hats that I wear.
Uh-huh.
So we have some little connections going that way. And last summer, Lisa and I got just a little teeny bit acquainted, and I feel terrible that we haven't gotten more acquainted, but she's definitely a kindred spirit and an expert gardener and food preserver among her many hats that she wears and her expertise besides the newsletter. So we talked about food preserving. It was really an excellent seminar. Unfortunately, I didn't have that one recorded. I don't know why. It was an oversight of some sort because it would be a wonderful one to listen to. So I guess we'll have to repeat it, right?
We'll just have to do it again.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we'll do that again this summer when it's more appropriate and
definitely
appropriate. But she touched on a topic, I think, at that particular phone seminar. Is that right? The Titus II ministry and Titus II meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't I let you introduce yourself, and then we'll talk about what a Titus II meeting is.
Okay. Well, my name is Lisa. Can I interrupt you?
Oh, sure. You're with us.
I'm here. Yeah.
Oh, Lori. Oh, go.
Okay.
Lori.
Okay. Well, okay. We thought we lost you.
Well, you did, but I can hear you all, and luckily none of you said nasty things about me.
Okay.
And you just were saying, I'm going to send her an email, but your email just got clogged up, and I could see it was coming, but it was stuck, and it just came up, so.
So you got some info.
Yes, I'd never had that code before. I was on there with all the ladies, and when you turned it off.
Okay.
You were lost.
I was afraid of that. Okay. So I'm so glad you're with us. And we're shifting gears back again. We're going to go with Lori. I've explained to them that it's your son's birthday, so they know that you will have to bow out early.
Okay.
But Lori, I you know, you wrote in the front of your magazine, I think it's in front of every magazine, that in 1997, 10 years ago, I guess you'll be celebrating the 10th anniversary here pretty soon, you started asking all your friends and acquaintances, what magazine do you really love? Which magazine encourages you, challenges you, inspires you? And you didn't come up with anything that really fit the bill. Is that right? And so so people started saying, well, gee, Lori, why don't you publish that magazine?
Right.
Is that kind of the story? So I want you to tell it in your own words, though. How did God open up the doors for you to start publishing the magazine?
Oh, he had to beat me over the head until I bled a little, like usual. I just had never wanted to write anything, no desire, never had a like for it or a desire to write anything. I loved to read, but didn't have any interest. But I really had missed a magazine that I'd gotten previously that was kind of more on homekeeping and your heart as a woman. And I had really been ministered to by that. And always when it came, I would run and grab it and say goodbye to my family as I'd sit on the sofa and just soak up the encouragement and the things that were in those pages. And that magazine went out of publication. And so I just started asking my friends that were homeschoolers, like I was, what do you guys get? And they kept saying things like magazines that would be like a traditional glossy with a lot of ads and very much a homeschooling magazine. And I was kind of beyond that. I didn't really want to hear so much about curriculum so much, as I think I finally realized what I was really interested in is the growth for myself and some of the things that Lisa talked about, like gardening and being really interested in other kinds of things that I really hadn't any experience in before. And then, of course, things about being a better wife and a better mother and becoming more like Jesus. And so I kept asking everyone, and it just seemed like everyone said that, oh, Lori, that sounds wonderful. Why don't you do it? And I'd be like, no, I just want to subscribe. I just want to find one. And so I tried it. I think I must have subscribed to or ordered samples from a few different places, and there was nothing like it. And I was having a show here, a homeschool show in Washington State, and I'd never done that before either. But I'd organized this little show, and we already had 300 people paid before the doors even opened. So there was going to be, a fair amount of people there. And it was the night before, and I'd worked my tail end off getting ready for this show and had speakers coming in, used books and new books and all this stuff. And my mom said to me the night before, Lori, I really think that God wants you to write this magazine and he wants you to put this together. Mm-hmm. And when she said it to me like that, it really changed things for me because then I wasn't Jonah anymore. I was thinking, oh, if that's God, and my mom's like Eli in Samuel's life, then, oh, this is different than I thought. Because at first I felt like I could just kind of run away and God would just grab me and tell me when I had to do it, and I'd never felt like I had to do it. But all of a sudden I felt like, oh, maybe it's more like Eli, and that am I going to be like Samuel and listen, or do I have to wait until he really, has to force me like Jonah? And so we put out a little piece of paper. I didn't even know how to use a computer, Marilyn. Do you remember the days that the computer was like a typewriter? And did you get so mad at it because you had like tabs in there and things you didn't understand and they wouldn't work? So I couldn't make the computer do what I wanted, so I got it to print out sentences, and then my mom and I carefully cut them apart and glued them on a piece of paper so that they looked like we wanted it to. And we said that we would publish a newsletter 6 times a year and it would be $15. And I didn't think that anybody would pay for it, and so I didn't even worry about it, but it was like a fleece, and I was being obedient. But a number of people did it, 50-some people, said they would do it, and I'd never done it before in my life.
Wow.
So then if I would have known you, I would have called you and said, Marilyn, would you write for this thing I said I'd do?
So how did you find columnists?
I did just what I said to you. Just what I just did, that I called people that I knew a little bit. Just a couple of them were anybody you even knew. One of them would be Barb Shelton. She was one of our first writers. Mm-hmm. And she was a huge blessing to us for many years. Mm-hmm. And so I called her and then other people that I knew and said, would you do a column on saving money? And I would have called Lisa and said, would you do a column on gardening? And, I just did that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so God just has built it up over the years. So now it's about how many pages?
It's 44 pages an issue.
Okay, and about how many different people writing?
Boy, now that would be a hard one. Probably maybe about 20 or something.
Okay, and what are some of the topics?
Well, each issue goes on a theme, as you know, and so sometimes Marilyn writes for us, and we've had Lisa in there before, too, haven't we, Lisa?
I don't think so yet.
Now, Rena, well, you better hurry up.
I will
She's
talk.
She's waiting for that invitation.
We'll talk.
I honestly, you know what? I think it's because you send out an email, so I feel like I already know you. But anyway, I just do according to themes, and they're all just things that probably the Lord's working in my heart on. And those are prayed over very carefully what the themes are. And the one that's actually on its way to people right now is called Dry Desert Times.
It's called what?
Dry Desert Times.
Oh, nobody's had any of those, have they? What a timely topic. Okay.
So it's, you know, you have spouses and you have marriages that are failing and you have, my mom has cancer. I mean, there's everything going on in our lives. And that if you could understand from that God uses the desert in our life to teach us things he can't teach us when we're on a mountaintop. And also just that if you think of, you know, all throughout the Bible, every time he takes you into the desert, it's always after a moment of you know, great benediction. You know, Jesus just gets baptized and the Holy Spirit descends and the heavens are ripped open.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus has this awesome moment here on earth to begin his earthly ministry, and then boom, straight off to the desert he goes with Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And that just happens over and over with the Israelites, just over and over, that picture of benediction and then dry.
You know, that I wish I had understood that, you know, a little bit better than I even do. I mean, like a lot better than I do today. Not that I think I have it mastered. I don't mean to imply that. But I've always thought when I was going into the desert times, there was something wrong with me. That,
oh.
I had this fatal flaw. It wasn't that God was trying to teach me something, to perfect me. There's something wrong with me. And so that's, you know, that really can keep you from hearing the Lord.
Right, and there is truth in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes that is one of the reasons that he will take you into the desert sometimes. But it's really important, I think, especially for women when you know, I just had a lady writing today that her husband worked overseas and he just, they had been gone a few months and he's now leaving them.
Mm-hmm.
And just to be able to explain to her that this probably isn't a result of something that God is teaching her.
Right.
But so it's really important to remember that. But sometimes it is.
Well, that's true. That is true. But I guess what I want to clarify then is I used to think it was just me.
Right. Just your fault.
Or just me going through the desert. Nobody else went through the desert. Their lives were all wonderful.
You felt alone.
Yes.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah. And so I think it's important for people to realize that it happens to everybody.
It sure does.
Yeah. So, okay. And then, well, tell us what some of the other recent themes are, because I know we'll run out of time here.
I'm not very good at remembering them. It's like if somebody says, what did you get for Christmas, and you can't remember.
Okay, well, I know the issue I'm looking at, the theme is prayer. This was in the Christmas issue, I think. One before that, maybe.
Yeah. And I think we have one coming up that's going to be very popular. It's on yelling.
Oh, nobody has problems with that, do they?
No, I don't.
Okay, so when you say there's a theme, that means some of the different topics that are covered from different angles will focus on the particular theme.
Right. Just like yours is always talking about food and ministering to people from our kitchens, there will be one always in there on saving money. There will always be one in there on raising different levels. Different children are always at different ages and how we can incorporate them more as one, multi-level homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
There's always things to do with helping your kids become better at doing chores with the family, all kinds of things like that. And sometimes they'll touch on the theme, sometimes they'll follow the themes, and sometimes they'll ignore it.
Right, okay, that makes sense. Okay, well, I just have a few little questions I want to sneak in before we say, please enjoy your son's birthday and thank him for us. Sharing you with us.
Okay.
But you know, I wrote in my news or my little announcement yesterday that I'm always fascinated to find out, you know, get that little bird's eye view of how a mom with lots of children manages. They always have great tricks and systems that just fascinate me. So when we were talking the other day, you were telling how your kids get up and within a half hour they've done their chores, They've eaten breakfast, and they're ready to start school. Now, that blew my mind. How do you guys do that? In a half hour! Do they sleep in their clothes?
No, you know what the Bible says, that you work and then you eat. And so I just taught them that when they were really little, that if you want breakfast, that would be great. I don't blame you a bit. So then here's what you have to do before breakfast. And you have to have it done by a certain time. And I don't care if you skip breakfast, but you have to start school at what time we start school. You have to start, and you have to have before that your chores done, and if you want to eat breakfast before that also. So.
Okay. So, and if they dawdle and they don't have the chore done by 10 o'clock, what happens? Do they still start school?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah. So how do you come up with appropriate consequences?
Well, you come up with appropriate consequences mostly based on age. And I think probably everyone just, you kind of instinctively know that as a mom. But a lot of times an appropriate consequence, and we do definitely spank, but a lot of times the most appropriate and the one that will really teach them and help them mold their hearts to match yours, so that they learn to mold their hearts like God wants them to match His, is a lot of times when it comes to chores, the best way to teach them is that there will be more chores. Mm. And I just tell my children that, just, I'm sure that all of us here on the phone tonight are very aware of the fact that, you know, it says in Ecclesiastes that if your hands are idle, your house is going to drop a through. You know, if you don't work on your house a little bit every day, it falls to pieces really quickly. And so I just teach my kids that if you think that the floor is not really bad right now, maybe it doesn't really need to be swept, but this is what the Bible says, and this is why we sweep it before it really needs to be swept. Then it gets really bad. Mm. And so I just try to teach them that, especially as homemakers, because I didn't know that when I got married.
I didn't either.
I didn't understand you had to do housework every day. I didn't know that.
Well, I didn't know about doing it with a good attitude. I understood doing it, but in my heart I might be screaming and yelling and resentful and those kinds of things. And so you were talking about doing chores with a good attitude. That's part of the requirement. And again, you were talking about molding the heart. I think that is so key. I mean, I really, truthfully, did not understand that till recently. And I have a 23-year-old daughter. I'm embarrassed, so...
Well,
okay.
You know, God teaches us all in His own time, and
mm-hmm.
The ravens take back the year, so no worries.
True, true.
But I do think probably one thing that that might be really helpful to your ladies that really helped me a number of years ago was to learn what just a simple definition of obedience. And I teach this in almost all the workshops I do, and that's just simply that kind of what you're saying, Marilyn, is part of it is attitude. And I just remember it with the acronym CRIJ. So
okay, let's repeat that again, that acronym.
It's C-R-I-J.
C-R-I-J, okay.
C is for completely.
Okay.
So obedience isn't obedience unless the job is done completely. And I like to just think about if you ask your kids to put their clothes away in the drawer and then you walk in and things are hanging out and the drawer's, you know, open, then they didn't really obey you.
Mm-hmm.
It really goes back to the root, which is obedience. Mm-hmm. And the R is for respectfully. So as your children get older, they tend to roll their eyes. They're really good at going,
right.
And, you know, there's all kinds of different ways that you can show that you don't really want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be respectfully. And then I is for immediately. If you do what I ask you to do, but you just assume that it's okay to do it when you finish that chapter, that's not obedience.
Mm.
And then the last one is J is for joyfully.
Mm.
And I like to tell my kids, until you do it with a sparkle in your eye.
Oh, then, boy. Raise that bar.
Right, yeah. But then that's really what we're looking for. And attitude, I'll tell you, that's, I go and speak around the U.S., and that workshop will pack them out. That workshop is, that thing, attitude, is, we all just instinctively know that we need to be in control of our own attitudes. And once we do that, we can teach our children. So I did a workshop that's, really popular on the A to Z's on how to control your attitude.
Okay, we're going to save that for next time then, since you need to leave. Right?
Okay.
We've got them at the edge of their seats, and now they have to come back and hear the rest of the workshop on attitude.
But
so
I wanted
good.
To give you something concrete. So before breakfast chores are a wonderful, simple tool to get your day going well. Just like if you get your servants working and you have your washing machine running and you have to the dishwasher empty because one of your little children did that for you first thing in the morning, then, like I told Marilyn, your dirty dishes go straight in there. That's a wonderful tool for you ladies. That really helped me was to know a before breakfast chore, and then just an obedience that it's not just an action. It's an attitude of the heart, and C-R-I-J.
Okay, that is fantastic. I am very encouraged just knowing about that. I only wish I'd heard that a long time ago, Lori. Okay, well, I want to tell everybody that you have graciously offered to give each person who is interested a complimentary copy of the magazine. The only hitch is they need to place an order with us. And so I'll be telling them a little bit more about what the code is to take advantage of that offer. But I'm sure that they would love to see a sample issue of your magazine and subscribe. They can subscribe at your website, teachmagazine.com, right?
Yes,
or they can get a free issue and review it and decide for themselves by placing an order at urbanhomemaker.com. So we want you to have a great birthday celebration with your son. We thank you so much for joining us, and we'll definitely plan to follow up on attitude here soon.
Okay, let me also say that right now with a two-year subscription, there's $140, almost $140 worth of free gifts that you instantly get. So there's always, we always give away little extras, but it's especially big right now. So, Lisa, I'm so sorry I don't get to hear what you say, but I hope you can hear us sing happy birthday and best wishes. Enjoy all your time together, ladies. I'd love to meet you later.
Okay.
Thanks, Marilyn.
All right, thanks, Lori.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, I'm learning to be flexible more and more, ladies. I hope you don't think I'm a crazy woman, but anyway, that was fun. That obedience with the right, requires the right attitude. I just wish I had known that so many years ago. That just really blessed me. And joyfully, with a sparkle in your eye, okay,
yeah.
I guess all of our hearts are getting a little bit of a prick, aren't they?
Well, you know, those were words of wisdom, and I have just found that it's not something you just do once with them.
Uh-huh.
You reinforce it over and over and over.
Oh, right. They're not going to master this.
No.
1 week. So, well, if you're a mom of six, Lisa, I guess you probably already knew these wonderful things about attitude and joyfully. I really, truthfully, was never trained that way, and so I never trained my children that way.
Well, it didn't come naturally to me either, and I think every family has its own flavor, you know, too, as well, and how God leads you. You know, he leads each one of us as individuals and as individual families.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those elements are there for each one of us, but how we accomplish it, how we approach it, you know.
It's in his timing.
It's in his timing and how consistent we are with things. We're all at different levels with that.
True. And for ladies listening, I think some of them might be thinking, oh, boy, I'm done for. I have flunked. I'm not doing too hot. Maybe I'll hang up or something. But I think they need to recognize that a lot of us weren't trained this way, and so we're learning along with our kids, and God is aware of that.
Well, I'm with Lori. You know, I didn't come into my marriage with many skills at all.
No.
I mean, zero. My husband ate Vandy Camp's frozen fish sticks for, you know, the first 6 months, the poor man. So, and I didn't know you're supposed to clean your house every day either. I mean, my mom's little cleaning lady, Frida, always did that for us, so... You know, I was clueless.
Well, the only thing I knew about cleaning or maintaining the house was my job to do dishes every other week.
Oh.
And the other week I had to set and clear the table. And I did have to iron my clothes. That's what I knew about housework.
Yeah. I probably knew less than that.
So, I wasn't really well prepared. So,
yeah.
Okay, well, that's why you have the Titus II meetings, I bet.
I do. Well, that's part of it, sure.
Okay, so tell us how did this all get underway?
Well, the Titus II meetings really started with my own heart. You know, I had been a young mother and had spent a lot of years learning, you know, teaching myself or going to, like, my grandmother and other women and, you know, saying, show me how to do this. Like, I was real impressed with the fact that my grandmother could grow, you know, a little patch of zucchini and tomatoes and bell peppers in this little patch in her backyard, which wasn't very big at all. And it was awesome to me that you could actually bring food out of the ground.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so as a young mother, when we still lived in Simi Valley, California, when I decided I was going to stay home and quit work when I had my first child, that was a huge step for us because we were living on two incomes. And we were now going to live, you know, on one income when everything in our life was geared for two.
Right.
So my husband, you know, God bless him, did everything he could do because we were, you know, he was, you know, as much if not more determined than I was that I stay home and raise our children. But this wasn't something that occurred to us, you know, years before. This was something that occurred to us about a month before we had our child. Mm. It's like, wait a minute. I'm like, I can't leave my baby.
Yeah.
So, he did what he could by taking on a second job and, you know, I began to learn things like budgeting and, you know, doing without and,
what's that?
I mean, exactly. Sacrifice. What is that? You know, and, but the odd thing was, is the more I learned about these things, the more I loved it. I just loved it. Like brought out the best in me. I love trying to make my own food from scratch rather than buying it in a box. And I decided if my grandmother could grow a little vegetable patch in her backyard, well, I can do that too. And she sort of gave me a few pointers, and I, you know, my husband rototilled up a little 10-by-10-foot square of our backyard in this, you know, in the suburbs of Southern California. And we planted a little garden, and I learned how to bake bread from scratch, and then the garden actually grew, and, which is amazing because we didn't know what we were doing. And
a little sun and moisture.
Exactly. And even not the moisture sometimes. I don't know, you're supposed to water? Who knew? And yet, like I always say, I think the Lord has special blessings for first-time gardeners, clueless gardeners, because everything came in like the Garden of Eden. It was incredible. And I didn't know zucchini grew that much. So I had zucchini coming out my ears. I was leaving bags of it for my neighbors. And I learned to can. You know, my grandmother said, oh, you can zucchini relish. Wow. So I did that. And the thing that began to happen in me was I was getting so happy and so content. And these, you know, these homestead, I like to call them homestead type skills, were just so satisfying. And they brought me so much joy and satisfaction. I would have never known that, you know, just these simple kind of everyday things could have been so good for my soul. And so we, you know, we decided we really loved doing all of these things. Oh, and we got two chickens, Mary and Martha. Yeah. And so we just loved this and decided we couldn't stay in our home. And because it was just costing us too much, and so we began to look and look. And I tell a lot of this in the last two newsletters. I finish up my story in the March-April one. But we finally found our place through a series of events, a little two-acre plot up here in Northern California. And we got up here and began to do everything on a much bigger scale and just, you know, continued to and started to raise some animals and different things.
On 2 acres?
On 2 acres, yeah.
Oh, I thought you had 10 acres.
No, no, we just have two.
Oh, my goodness.
God knew exactly what we needed.
And you can, you're doing animals and everything on 2 acres?
Everything but the largest of animals. You can do pretty much anything on a couple of acres. You can do a lot even on one.
Mm-hmm.
You can raise a small flock of chickens in your backyard.
True.
If your city allows it. So,
yeah.
We just began to do a lot of these things on a much larger scale, and we're just thrilled. You know, we just had no words to describe the sense of joy that we had doing these things. And so we were homeschooling by this time. Some years had passed, and I decided to have kind of a harvest home day out at our place. And we invited our homeschooling group out, and we taught them things like we made apple cider, and I taught them how to harvest and winnow wheat. And we made brooms from corn stalks and things like that. And afterwards, a lot of the women came to me and said, you know, just loved learning those things. And how did you learn all that? And I said, well, a lot of it from books and just trying and doing and, you know, asking people. And, oh, they really wanted to know more. So I thought, well, you know, maybe I should do something like this more often. And I knew in my own heart I had always wished, I wish I could have an older woman who really knows all of these skills to come beside me and teach me these things, but I never seem to be able to find that woman. And if there's, I think one theme I get more than any other when women write to me, it's that. It's I wish I had an older woman to come alongside and mentor me in these things. They're like you and I. We're from a generation where a lot of us, we did not grow up learning how to cook, how to clean, how to
manage your home.
Exactly. A lot of us had working mothers and, just had no opportunities.
Right. Well, I certainly can identify with that. And I certainly get a lot of email about how to this, how to that.
Exactly.
And I have to admit, I did some of the same things you did as far as, I asked around, and I'm sure there were people that showed me different things, but a lot of things I learned just by trying and reading books and just learning as I went. But, a lot of ladies are saying, that's not me, and where do I find, how do I find out about a Titus II meeting near me?
Well, the Titus II meetings, honestly, I will tell you how I began. I began when I couldn't find that woman. I just started having women to my home. I was a young mother. I was in my early 30s. I thought, well, I'll just open my home and see what happens, and I'll share what I know, and hopefully there will be other women who'll come who'll share what they know. And as the years went on, I eventually, after 10, 15 years, I have become that older woman that I always, was hoping for, but now here I am in that position. And so if you don't have someone around you, I offer a Titus II meeting guide. I help for free and to help women. If you don't have someone right there, then maybe you can step out and just open your home and say, well, I want to learn these things. Does anybody else want to learn these things? And here's what I know how to do.
And see where God takes it.
And see where God takes it.
And how he provides.
Ellen, he does. Yeah. You'd be amazed how things just blossom and grow from there. If we just take that first step of faith.
Well, I think that's quite exciting, and I know there's ladies saying, well, I don't think that's me, and there's others that are probably saying, okay. But let's talk a little bit more about, what a Titus II meeting is, and then we want to open it up for questions and discussion.
All right.
Okay, so you have a meeting. Mm-hmm. You said you have a meeting guide. What does that look like?
Well, the meeting guide basically takes you through how to set your meetings up and what you can be doing at each meeting. But basically, the Titus II meeting is a time, a way for women, young and old, to spend time together teaching and sharing skills and wisdom.
So the meeting is an opportunity to share skills and wisdom.
Skills and wisdom. It's only every 6 weeks because most moms I know have too much on their plates to begin with, and even every month can just come up too quickly for a lot of women. So about every 6 weeks, but we spend a long time together. We start at about 11 o'clock in the morning, and we don't end till 3, and sometimes we can go later. I don't kick everybody out at 3 o'clock. If, people want to linger, that's fine. And we normally have, depending on the season, there'll be a particular skill that we're going to focus on. Like right now in March, in our next meeting, we'll probably plant some seeds. We'll probably talk about hanging laundry. There's an art to that. Sometimes at this time of year, I like to talk about healthy snacks for kids and what we can make for our kids that are healthy and satisfying for them. Preparing garden beds, how to create a raised bed. How to create a small raised bed in your backyard, even if you don't think you have enough room. How to grow in containers. Mm-hmm. Even things called grow bags, which I talk about in my current newsletter. So those are the kind of things, since it's early spring, we're thinking about gardening more than anything. Another thing we might talk about for those who are able is how to start a small flock of chickens for laying eggs. So I'll take, when the ladies will come and we'll tromp out to my chicken coop and we'll, talk about what it takes to build a coop and what you need and, how big do you need it for how many chickens and how do you, take care of the baby chicks and what kind of brooder do you need and different things like that.
Okay, now what about the ladies that aren't living out in the country that are in the city? What are they going to do?
Well, they can probably participate in almost every single skill that we talk about. I mean, maybe you can't have a herd of goats, but like I said, you'd be surprised. In many, many cities, you are allowed to have chickens. There's a great book called Keep Chickens by a lady named Barbara Kolarski, and she keeps a small flock of 3 chickens in her backyard in Portland, Oregon. And that they provide enough eggs for her family.
That's interesting.
And you can check with your local zoning codes, and you'd be surprised. Many, many towns and cities allow that.
Okay.
But you can always grow something almost anywhere, even if you live in an apartment. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, grow some herbs. You can grow some things in containers and pots. There's lots of different ways. You just have to be motivated. You just have to really want to do it. But a lot of, most of the things we focus on, like in the kitchen, are, those are things anyone can do. Bake your own bread. In this upcoming issue, we have lots and lots on how to make your own yogurt. You know, how to cook everything from scratch, you know, without buying anything boxed or frozen. How to make jam. Go to the local farmer's market and, you know, buy a lug of strawberries and how to make jam and can it. So most everything we talk about is something that everybody can do.
Okay. All right. So if they would like to get the Titus II meeting guide, how do they do that?
Well, they can write to me. They can either visit my website, which is newharvesthomestead.com, and you'll see all the information there, how to write to me and ask for the meeting guide. It's just basically my email address. It's newharv, N as in Nancy, E-W-H-A-R-V as in Victor, at AOL. And just say I would like a meeting guide. I also have a free introductory issue that I offer to anyone who asks.
Okay, and then I think anyone who places an order with us in the next 2 weeks, you have a very special offer for them also.
I do. I'll send them 4 free back issues of the newsletter.
Okay, wow. Okay, so not only will they get it, will that include the free newsletter? Or
that will include the introductory plus the 4 free back issues.
Okay, so if they place an order with us, they get the introductory newsletter plus 4 free back issues.
That's right.
That is a terrific offer.
Yeah.
And they're wonderful. These newsletters are really designed to be filed in a notebook as reference material. I guarantee you'll want to refer back to them. Okay, and the way to get that offer that we just mentioned is to use the, or Lori's magazine, is to use the coupon code in the comments section. And that will be Titus II offer. So I'll repeat this again later in the hour, but the offer for the magazine, the free magazine from Teach, or the newsletter offer from Lisa, that would be the introductory and 4 back issues. You would just need to say Titus II offer. And that would be available with a purchase of any size. And the code I'll repeat later in the hour. So, okay, now do you want to say more about how this works, or would you like to go to questions?
Oh, I'll leave that up to you. What do you think, Marilyn?
Okay. Well, I think that, you know, we can talk about more than just the Titus II meeting. I just have a feeling there's a lot of people wanting to ask questions. Usually there is.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of cutting the questions short tonight, we have time, I think, for a little bit more question time. And the way that works is I'm going to, you know, disappear for a minute, change the codes here so people can unmute themselves and ask questions. I think you recall how to do that or how it works, and then I'll let the audience know how they can do it. So I'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay, so audience, I am back. And many of you have been with us before, so you know how it works. It can get a little crazy if everybody unmutes themselves at the same time, but we do our best just to take one question at a time, so bear with us. If more than one person jumps in, that's fine. But you can unmute yourself by pushing number 6 and ask your question, and we'll just take as many as we can get with the time remaining. So, questions?
Yes, I have a question for Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa, I've been getting your newsletter, and I just took advantage of the back issue offer, and I thank you for that.
Oh, good. Great.
My question for about the Titus II meetings would be, any time that I've ever gotten together with a group of ladies, it is very difficult. There seems to be somebody tries to take charge, and I wondered how you handle that with your Titus II meetings. If you go about trying to organize this, how do you keep women at bay at who's in charge?
Well, that's a good question. I guess I haven't had too much of that problem because the things that I'm teaching, I get a lot of younger moms who are very eager to learn, and they know they don't have the knowledge to bring. You know, they know they need to just sit and watch and ask questions about a lot of the things that we do. So I pray a lot. I pray a lot about these meetings, and I always have. I pray before each one that, you know, that the Lord, that His will be done, and what He wants to accomplish will be accomplished. And I guess you have to just have a really nice balance of allowing people to express themselves and ask questions, but then taking control. And that's kind of a, you know, that's an acquired skill, to be able to just keep control of a meeting. And you just have to be kind of willing sometimes to sort of clap your hands and wake everybody up and say, okay, let's get back on topic here, ladies, because, you know, they'd love to just sit and chat and go off on a tangent sometimes. I do have that problem. So I guess, you know, one of the things that really helps is that whenever I am going to have a Titus II meeting, and I have, this is all in the meeting guide, I have an announcement. I have started a Yahoo group for everyone in my Titus II group. And every time we're about to have a meeting, I send out a very specific invitation. Okay, we're having you on this day. This is what we're going to be talking about. I'd like you to be ready to learn about this. And so everybody is pretty well prepared to know what they're going to come and learn about and need to be focused on.
That's really a good idea. And that answers my question, because one of the things when getting together with our homeschool group is everybody comes with their own ideas of what they want to talk about. So if we stay on target with the specific...
Right. I always spell out very specifically, today we are, you know, picking pumpkins from the pumpkin patch and cooking it and canning it, ladies. So be ready to do that. And so everybody knows what we're going to be working on when they come.
So everybody has a part in doing what you're there for. Like, everybody's going to help can the jam. It's not just you showing them.
Well, you know, it just depends. Sometimes it is just me showing them, and if somebody wants to jump in and go, hey, can I, you know, try, then absolutely. They can come step in and give it a try for themselves. I do encourage that. So I'm real flexible about that. I just, if they want to just sit and watch and learn and ask questions, that's great. And if they want to jump in and try it, that's fine too.
And I would think also that if you have somebody that really is coming with their own agenda and they're not really interested in what is planned,
mm-hmm.
you might have to speak to them quietly at a separate time or not invite them back.
Well, I would suppose, you know, that, if that it was something that happened more than once, you know, two times, three times, you'd probably have to, you know, gird up your courage and have a word. Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much.
Great question. Okay, another question.
I have a question.
Okay.
I'm Pam, and I'm in Denton, Texas.
Thank you.
I was asking about children. How do you manage the, I mean, I gather the children come.
Yes.
And do you get a sitter for the children, or the mom's expected to manage the children? How does that work?
Well, that's a question I get a lot. Yes, we do welcome the children because many of the young moms who come to my meetings would not be able to attend if they couldn't bring their children.
Uh-huh.
They're the sole caretakers. They cannot afford to hire a babysitter a lot of times. They're on very tight budgets. So we always welcome the children. And what I've always done is, of course, I'm blessed in having five daughters. I've always had built-in babysitters. And what we've always done is have my older daughters kind of keep an eye on the kids. And I always put in my little invitation announcements that donations to the babysitter are welcome but not required.
Okay.
And it usually ends up that a few ladies are very generous and give a nice payment, and then the ladies who can't afford it know that it's been covered by someone else, and it's, you know, all very open-hearted in that way. But mothers are also expected, if their kids are getting, you know, rowdy, whatever, the mothers are also expected that they're going to have to take care of things. And we all understand, and I think this is something that's so important to get right on the table and out in the open as you begin your meetings. Everybody has to understand that the children are welcome. There's going to be interruptions. They're going to be running in and out. And everyone has to be okay with that.
Uh-huh. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
I am a mom of six, and my four older daughters have all left home and are working or in college, and I am considering, you know, and starting a group in my home, and I just wondered how that was going to work.
Well, and, you know, many times other moms who attend will have older daughters who are, you know, willing to come and do it. If you're in a homeschooling group, you might put the word out that you're looking for a couple of girls, maybe 14, 15-year-old girls,
okay,
who'd be willing to spend some time. So usually where there's a will, there's a way.
That sounds wonderful. Community service hours for some girl who needs
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. That's right. I tell my daughters this is a ministry. Even if you don't get paid this time, it's a ministry.
Thank
well,
you.
That certainly is a ministry. Do you usually keep the children in a separate room?
It depends. You know, I don't have
Okay, wait a second. If somebody needs to unmute them, or needs, there we go. Okay, thank you.
Okay. I don't have a very big house, and we do have really wet winters here. And we're blessed in that we haven't had too many meetings that it's been pouring down rain. When it has, the children just kind of spread out between. Since we spend most of our time in the kitchen a lot of the time, mm-hmm. especially in the winter, we're doing bread baking and pie making and turkey roasting. So we're mostly in the kitchen. The kids tend to spread out. I open up my room and our living room. And those meetings can get a little bit, you know, closed in. But still, everybody seems willing to deal with it and happy to go ahead and have the meeting under those circumstances. And again, my daughter is usually out there trying to, you know, do her best to keep everybody entertained and playing a game or doing something like that.
Well, I think managing the kids is the challenge.
It is a challenge.
Sure. Okay, do we
Can
have...
Can I just say a quick comment real
sure.
quick to Pam? No. I'm in Denton, Texas, too, and would love to get into a group. So maybe if she could stay on the line afterwards, I could get her information.
Once I hang up, then that's it. So maybe...
Both of you write me.
Yeah.
Write to Lisa.
Oh, okay.
And I'll put you guys in touch with each other.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You bet. Yeah.
Question.
Okay, go ahead.
It's Mireille from Canada. Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
And I just... I'm at a point, I think, in my life right now where you know, I'm a mother of three, and you know, I've been at home since they were babies, and my oldest is seven, and I'm just finding, how do you balance? I want to do all of these great things, and the Lord has been really working on my heart, but I also feel torn between ministry within the church and different things, and I just want to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I feel, is this right, or am I supposed to serve? In all of these different areas, I feel torn, I think, in so many things within the church and family. But my heart's desire is just to stay home. And I'm wondering, how do you discern that?
Well, my heart's right there with you. What was your name again?
Mireille.
Okay, you get my newsletter, don't
you? Yes, I do, and I love it. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm doing an article on that. For this point, you know, I really believe with all my heart that mothers with young children... That's your ministry right now. They are not, trust me, they are not going to be young forever. And
no,
you're
going to
turn around one day and they're going to be out the door and on their own. And there's so much time after they're grown to pursue other things. But when I look at young mom, and this was one of my prime motivators to starting to publish New Harvest, and even in, you know, as the Titus II meetings have developed over the years, I have found that this is one of my major areas of ministry, and that's encouraging young moms to spend more time at home. I've met too many burnt out, frazzled, fried young mothers who are trying to just pile everything on their plate, and what ends up suffering are the very basic priorities when I look at the Bible, I see we're to be focused on, and that is our husbands, our children, and our home.
Mm-hmm.
And so often that is what ends up suffering and being neglected because we do feel like, oh, you know, I'd love to do this and do that. And if, you know, but if our home and our husbands and our children aren't being neglected, then you know that can't be right to take on so many different pursuits. You know something's wrong with this picture.
Yeah.
And I know it's hard when you're in the midst of babies and toddlers and, you know, 5-year-old mess makers and every day is just, you know, this marathon of picking up messes and doing laundry and doing dishes and getting food on the table and clearing food off the table. And you feel like you want to do more. You've got, you know, so many creative ideas that you want to expand. And I just wish that I could tell you ladies from the other side of the garden that time goes by so fast.
Yeah.
And to pursue where you are in life right now with excellence.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really have to add on to that saying that I think that there's just a subtle pressure that if we're going to serve the Lord, we have to do it in the church.
Absolutely.
You know? And we have to remember that there are seasons in our life. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. There's a time for this and a time for that. And so if this is the time with many young children, then obviously I think the time is to be at home. And there will be time, like Lisa said, to minister in the church later.
There will. And you'll find that you're probably swimming against the tide if you, mm-hmm. you know, if you stick to your guns and say, I'm going to stay home and I'm going to say no to this ministry and that ministry. But what you probably find out is that there's a lot of other young moms just like you who are waiting for someone to say, it's okay. It's okay if you just want to be home. And you can kind of light the way and you know, help other young moms to go, oh, good, because I thought I was the only one. You know, the only one who didn't want to get involved in all these different things, who just wanted to be home with my family. And so I think that the Lord blesses and strengthens us as we stand fast on our conviction.
Right. And we had a pastor say that not every need constitutes a ministry.
Right.
And that and I had to learn as a young mom. I had a friend when I was kind of feeling that frazzled feeling. I had a friend who said, Marilyn, there's a very simple answer to this. Mm-hmm. It's a two-letter word.
N-O.
And I was really offended by that, but then I quickly realized how right she was.
Yep, that's absolutely true.
So I hope that helps.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and when you're done, if you'll just mute yourself again, that would be terrific, and then we'll be glad to take some more questions.
I have a question.
Go.
All of my gardening attempts have failed miserably. What
I identify with that.
Oh my goodness. And my grandma could stick her thumb in the ground and something would grow.
Right.
What is your very best easy beginning gardening book or website recommendation?
Oh boy. I would say that a couple of the really best ones, there's one by Elliot Coleman called The Four Season Garden, where he really goes in. I think if you are having trouble, one of the best ways to really have success and so to help you feel like, okay, I can do this and maybe attempt more is to create like a raised bed garden. And because when you create the optimum soil conditions, which is what a raised bed garden is going to do, then you almost can't lose. Something is going to grow in there. Elliot Coleman probably goes into creating raised beds as well as I've ever seen anybody do it. So I would recommend him. I read Mel Bartholomew's book, The Square Foot Gardening, many years ago. I don't do that anymore because we have a really large garden plot now. But I've had many women write to me and tell me that they've had success with the square foot gardening method. And sometimes just learning a little method like that can get your feet wet and give you a little bit of success and give you enough courage to go on and keep trying. You know, I couldn't guess at what some of the problems are, but normally the major reason for garden failure is the condition of the soil. So, Elliot Coleman's book really spells out how to get a nice, raised bed prepared. And
there's also another book that we offer. I don't know how it compares to creating raised bed gardens since I haven't seen it. It's called Cinder Block Gardening. And it's a way of making raised beds with cinder blocks without having to build with wood.
Right. You can do it in a lot of different ways.
It's a little simpler way to build mm-hmm. that bed, and you can make it as big or as small as you want to. And it tells you how to make a soilless mix. And we did it the first year we moved here, and we had a pretty good luck because there were no weeds. When you make this mix, your own soil mix, there's no weed seeds to weed through, and the soil isn't like clay or sand or anything. So
that helps. The name of that?
Creating Raised Bed Gardens or Cinder Block Gardening.
Cinder block
gardening. Cinder. It's in my catalog and on my website.
Yeah, and I'll also have references in my current March April newsletter. And if you write to me too, I can give you some good references.
Okay.
May I interject a suggestion?
Sure.
My son worked with the master gardeners at the county extension office,
mm-hmm.
and generally, a county extension office will do. If you take a soil sample, they will tell you what is wrong with your soil. And they also generally have a lot of free literature that you can pick up free of charge, and they will give you lots of suggestions.
That's a great resource.
You can't beat the Cooperative Extension. They're great.
Could I make a comment?
Yeah.
Sure.
When you were talking about seasons and whatever with the woman who called talking about wanting the Lord feeling that calling her home, well, the Lord has not released me from calling me home. I'm a grandma, and I still feel like my calling is here. Most of the women my age work, and they put their kids through school, and then now they're working to purchase the things that they didn't have when their kids were young. And I just find real fulfillment continuing to be home to minister to my husband and be able to have meals on the table and bake his bread and make sure things are done. And now I have the privilege of being able to help nurture in Titus II my daughters and my daughters-in-law and my grandkids.
Well, that's absolutely beautiful. That's a thought that I've always had in my heart as well, that when do you stop being a Titus II woman? I mean, just at the time of life when you have the most knowledge to share, are you going to take yourself out of the availability by taking on a job? I've always felt that I can't wait for the time when I can go from one daughter's house to another,
oh, no,
helping them and ministering to them. Absolutely.
But the pressure has not left me.
The pressure to stay home.
To work in the church.
Oh,
well,
to,
okay.
To help there and to work in the church. And I just wish that all the women would go home and let the men take care of the things in the church, and then we wouldn't have that problem. And then we could be doing our Titus II things with each other instead of trying to run all these programs trying to pull us away from. So
sure.
I just wanted to tell you that just because you're not young and you don't have toddlers at home doesn't mean you can't stay there. And
absolutely.
Just feel completely fulfilled and at peace and happy and content.
Amen.
Well, that is
and thank you for your New Harvest newsletter, because I get it too.
Oh, you're so welcome.
And where do you live and can we come over?
I'm in Iowa. And sure, if you come by here, call me.
Oh, boy, I'd like to come over. I'm a little too far. Okay, was there another question?
I have one.
Okay.
I was wondering, have they ever started a Titus II meeting in churches where there is a kitchen, a large kitchen, and then there's also rooms for children to be watched by teenagers? Has anyone ever done that?
I've had several people write to me and ask for the meeting guide because they wanted to start this in their church, and I think it's a wonderful idea. You know, churches have great facilities, big kitchens, and like you said, the separate rooms for the kids, so I think that's a great idea.
Well, and I also have another question. Even though I'm a grandmother, my youngest child is 4, and I still feel like I have a lot to still learn, and I'm 47 years old, but I was wondering, even though I feel like I don't have a lot of knowledge in some areas, can someone still start this but yet get that knowledge from other people? You know, I almost feel like I would feel bad starting something when I don't know if I have a lot to bring to it.
Well, you probably have more to bring to it than you really think. I did. I mean, I just started the meetings because I couldn't find that, you know, perfect, ideal Titus II woman to start them for me. So I just started opening up my home. And as I would learn a skill, you know, I would share it. Now, I was really motivated to learn a lot of things. You know, I'll admit that. But most women have more to share. You know, I have never met a woman, honestly, because we are creative. We're just wired to be creative people who doesn't either crochet or do some kind of sewing or likes to cook in the kitchen. I mean, everybody has something to offer. And if you just have a meeting and offer, you know, a couple of skills that you have, you'd be surprised the reaction that you'll get, especially from younger moms who maybe, you know, a lot of younger moms nowadays just did not have a mom at home to teach them hardly anything. So they're happy to learn just about anything, even things that you think that, you know, everybody knows that. Well, no, really, they don't. So, like I said, when Marilyn and I, you know, like Lori said, when she got married, she didn't know you're even supposed to clean your house every day. Well, neither did I.
Right.
So okay. There's all kinds of things that you can share.
Okay, well, I really appreciate your answering my questions.
You bet.
Thanks for
thank you so much.
Huh? Okay, well, we're getting close to the, oh, we are at the top there. I didn't even think, oh my goodness, that time really went
fast. It flew.
I thought we still had another 5 or 10 minutes. I was about to say, okay, now we have a few more minutes to wrap up. Okay, well, let's wrap up, and maybe we'll squeeze in one more question and go over the hour if you can stay, Lisa.
Okay.
But I do want to mention that there is a special offer for those who place an order with us for the next 2 weeks through the end of the month, through March 31st. They can get a free copy of Teach Magazine, or they can get, and they can get an introductory offer or an introductory issue plus 4 back issues of New Harvest Homestead newsletter. So I think it's a very generous offer for an order of any size through the end of the month. And if you've listened to our conversation, I'm sure you will want to take advantage of these great resources. So, well, I just have to say one thing before I know there's a few more questions, but in my area, Lisa, you're going to think this is terrible, but I don't know if there's anybody who's even interested.
Well, you know,
I think that gets me discouraged.
You'll find the greatest interest normally among homeschooling groups, among the younger moms.
Okay.
Or in your church among the younger moms. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, let me just say, I send out the meeting guides. I ask women, if you're holding meetings, let me know where they are if you want to let it be known. So it's not like I have a long list of where every, you know, Titus II meetings are meeting in every city. I've only been at this about a year and a half, encouraging women to start these meetings. So, but I've started to hear from a few. I've heard from ladies in Vermont, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Michigan. I know there's other ladies around holding them too. So, I think one of the best things is to just, if you go to a church or if you're in a homeschooling group, just put the word out.
Hey,
get a Titus II meeting guide and say, you know, would anybody be interested in learning how to, you know, and fill in the blank.
Okay.
You might be surprised.
I might be surprised.
You might be surprised.
Okay, well, let's take a couple more questions. We'll go
ahead. I have a question.
Okay.
My name is Hope.
Mm-hmm. Hi,
I have a question because I have 4 small children under the age of 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how to do a lot of these things, but would it be wise for me to start a group? Because I seem to be, you know, really busy, and I'm trying to get out of the leadership business and not volunteer for so many things. My
mm-hmm.
husband's a minister.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I feel like I would be almost, you know, taken away from the family to do that kind of group, but it's just so needed in this area. And I have friends that meet with me
mm-hmm.
on a regular basis that I guess we could call that our Titus II group.
Well, you could. And, you know, let me answer that in a roundabout way. Let me go back a little bit to what Marilyn was asking. How do you do it with 6 kids? Well, I'll tell you my secret. It's really, really simple. I'm home a lot. That's
mm-hmm.
how you do it. I'm home pretty much all the time. I go out maybe 2-3 times a week and not for very long at that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get involved. I'm not involved in a lot of different activities. I have one thing. I have a Bible study on Wednesday night, and I sing for worship service on Sunday night, and that is it. That is all I'm committed to. The rest is home. And you won't be able to do what you want to do at home if you're not at home.
Mm-hmm.
I've met a lot of stay-at-home moms who don't stay at home very much.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the key. The key is to disentangle yourself from a lot of outside commitments, spend some time getting your house in order and getting into a really good rhythm of being home every day. And then you can start saying, well, I could have someone over, you know, once every 6 weeks, and we could do this because my life's kind of, you know, quieter now, and
yeah.
I think I could handle that.
Well, and I want to just add another thing. Because Hope said she's a pastor's wife, she may
right.
have more responsibility.
That's
but
right.
There may be other ladies who can identify with her. I think the key would be to go to your husband
mm-hmm.
and pray about it. And if he's okay with it, then I would step out. And if he's not, if he thinks it's not the right time, then it's not the right time.
Okay.
Yeah, all of this, you know, everything goes without saying that you bring before your husband and you talk to him about it. And a lot of times our guys don't realize that we've been struggling with something. You know, they've got a lot going on in their minds too, and they didn't know we were struggling with something. So maybe it's just a matter of saying, hey, I'm really struggling with this.
Yeah. Plus, I would think if you have four young children, Hope, you would be you'd have to have somebody who would joining you that was watching the kids, or maybe do it on a Saturday morning when dads are home, something like that.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Can I comment?
Okay, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Tanya. Hi. I'm from New York. Hi. I just want to give you a two-minute little synopsis here. My girlfriend had given me the Teach magazine while I was in the hospital. My daughter was diagnosed with leukemia a few months back. Fell in love with it. She I had gotten the Homestead Harvest free through signing up through the Teach magazine. She gave me the magazine as a gift. And fell in love with it and realized, hey, you know, there's so many women out there that are like me. Mm-hmm. I'm in here in New York, all the way across the country from you guys, and I just I feel kind of left like alone. Mm-hmm. And I just want to let you guys know that you guys are a pure blessing. The things that you're saying are things that I have been dealing with, especially with the one woman who called and said about my ministry. You know, when do I say when is enough of ministering in the church? Mm-hmm. And we forget that we need to just be ministers in our home.
Mm-hmm.
And God has shown me, I mean, you guys all interweave together. And I, you know, the Urban Homemaker, I mean, I get the I got the emails, and I was looking at it today and thinking, wow, I really want to find out some more about that, the pressure cooker. And it's like how you all, only God could make all you women kind of interweaved to bless me.
Well,
I mean, it's
you.
Just glory to the Lord. And I just
want to let you know.
Yeah, you just blessed us. God has used you like only he can.
That's
and
right.
I just wanted, and to the woman, if she's still listening about being involved in ministries at church versus ministries at your home, like you said, at least I think it was you that was saying that you, your home, was that you that said your home most of the time?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
I am.
That's the problem. I'm a stay-at-home mom of five, and I was never staying at home. I was always bebopping, homeschooling the kids, but I was never home.
Right.
And God has shown me, you know, I have such a desire to be, I read the Homestead Harvest, and I have some back issues, and I have such a desire. I'm like, this is my calling, and I have a little square, you know, half acre little lot here in, you know, in this little suburban town that I live in, and it's my husband's desire lately. I'm just realizing from him, and I know it's the Lord putting it on his heart, to get a couple acres.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it's a joy to me to, you know, do the breads, to do the fresh cooking. It's almost like a challenge. How can I cook this without using any store-bought pot, you know, when it goes in?
Of course. And Tanya, you're absolutely right, because we're wired. This is how we've been wired by our Creator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're to be creative, but to be creative to the benefit of our home and family.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just so many ways you can do that when you start letting the wheels spin and you start thinking about, well, maybe I could create some crafts. Maybe I could, you know, do this. And it's the possibilities are endless.
Yes, and this conversation, the possibilities
I
are
know,
endless.
I know, could be endless, too.
So I'm going to have to be the bad guy and call it quits, because we're going to be out of time anyway and get kicked out of this room. So I guess it's time for me to say thank you to all the listeners, and want to remind you to take advantage of the free Teach magazine and the free issues of New Harvest Homestead by using the coupon code Titus2Offer with an order of any size between now and March 31st. I want to thank Lisa for being a wonderful, inspiring guest. I can just tell this topic of creativity could be another whole phone seminar.
Oh, couldn't it though?
Not so much maybe from the focus of Titus 2, but just the ways that we can be creative in our home.
No kidding.
And so we'll save that for another time. I would like to also invite all of the audience to my next phone seminar, which will be April 5th, and our topic will be healthy water. And that will be April 5th. Our topic will be healthy water. And until then, I thank you so much for joining us. I thank you again, Lisa. And I've enjoyed it. It's been great.
Oh,
and the time flew. So thanks, ladies, and we'll say
good night.
Good night. Okay.
Good night.
Good night.